You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dear Daisy. There is a lawnmower going on outside, so it is what it is. I suppose I could go talk to them and be like, don't mow your lawn, but I'm not gonna do that. In my ongoing saga with the town council, it had been a month since my last conversation. I can't believe that's true. No. I don't think it had been a month. Anyway, it had been long enough that I hadn't gotten a response, and so I wrote again, and I was like, hey, is anything happening with this? And I got another sort of terse response, and I kind of want to be like, you literally work for me. You are the town council. I literally pay your salary. And I'm not sure why you're anything other than like, oh, wow, what a cool idea. Thanks so much. You know, like, we're going to add it to the thing. Please come to this meeting. And I'm already geared up to be like, all right, for the town council meetings that I've sat in on so far, you've like given another gun permit to like open a gun shop, another dog breeding fucking permit to somebody who wants to breed dogs in their backyard. Like, I'm asking for the kids to be able to play outside. I don't understand why this is so difficult. I don't know what to say today. It's a gorgeous day. I have a cold, but my friend Ellen Marsh, who I'm starting to think might work for the company Zicam, likes to recommend this Zicam product, which is the nasal swabs. And I have to say, it might be, junk science, but it works because I'm already on the mend, which is nice. I guess I don't really have much to say today, so I'm just going to get into it. I have a letter from the P.O. box from last time I went. So I'm opening that one, and then I know I have a couple of emails. I was going to go to a clothing swap today, but I'm not. That was a very good story. Okay. Oh, I see. Pictures of printouts in here of the front of the Orpheum Theater, I guess on the West End, where The Lion King is playing, was playing. Wisconsin. Oh, no, maybe it's in Wisconsin. I forgot that other cities in the country have theaters. And then the curtain of another... Is that The Lion King? It doesn't look like The Lion King. Anyway, and notes on the back. Oh, that might explain it. I wanted to share this, too, since you are a Broadway actor. We just went to see The Lion King at the Orpheum in Minneapolis. Side note, I love Minneapolis. I would highly recommend seeing it someday. It was very good. My family has a history of patronage to musical theater. When I was 11, my parents took me to the same theater for Phantom of the Opera, and my folks who did local theater when they were young also went to Cats and other shows before Dad died. The pics are black and white because my printer goofed up. Well, that's nice. Thank you. All right, here we go. Daisy. First, I want to say how much I enjoy your podcasts. I've been listening to Strange and Unexplained since season one. I first heard of it in a commercial while listening to another podcast, and giving your show a listen was one of the best decisions I've ever made. Now that it's moving to Grab Bag Collab, I've switched to that from the old Strange Patreon feed and have been enjoying Dear Daisy and some of the other shows. Like you, I lost a parent when I was young. My dad died of cancer when I was 12. I feel like I can relate to you and empathize with you a lot. I'm 31, bisexual, and autistic. Recently at my job, I work in a technical support call center. I got some odd feedback from my supervisor. My performance in terms of efficiency and attendance slipped significantly between January and March. A month or so ago, I sent him an email letting him know that stress was likely a big cause and that I would be working on focusing and mindfulness to help mitigate the effect of personal stress on me at work. Yesterday, he sent me an email with my performance information for March and recommended that I look into meeting with a doctor to get approval for intermittent medical leave due to his concerns about attendance issues. From April onwards, I've been feeling better and working harder. While I still have the stress, I am trying to check it at the door more, and none of the other physical ailments I had are currently happening. So I found his recommendation very off base. I expressed this to him in a reply, and he then replied back saying that he gives that recommendation to any employee who has a higher amount of absences and who have, quote, chronic medical or mental health concerns, end quote. He confirms that I'm still in good standing and wasn't singling me out. For him, it's all about meeting these numbers. For me, these numbers feel like the bane of my existence. I do have a lot of stressors, including financial uncertainty for me and my mom. I am moving next month back to my mom's house, and of course, the hellscape of an election we're facing. Particularly with the latter, I cannot plan or see anything for myself past this coming November. Earlier in the year, I did have a few days where I was physically sick and the stress was getting to me more. I don't think I could afford a therapist right now, let alone find one who works well with queer people and those with disabilities. I thought of your phrase, "Capitalism is killing us," when thinking about the added stress I have of meeting my boss's expectations and his micromanaging, but obviously I can't say that in the workplace. What do you think about my boss's recommendation? How do you handle stress when you're working? If you have one, how do you deal with your boss's expectations? How do you set goals and think of the future in a time when it feels more like that is all slipping through our fingers? How do you get yourself to stop doom scrolling? Thanks for reading. Hopefully this wasn't too long. I am a creative writer on the side with a goal of writing diverse queer stories, so when I put pen to paper or finger to keyboard, I always overdo it. All the best to you, Monty and Kurt. Stay safe. Sincerely, Chris. P.S. Not today, Bob.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Oh, man. Well, first of all, Chris, thank you for writing, and thank you for, you know, trusting me in this space. It's funny you mentioned feedback, because I was actually thinking about feedback this morning and like how we give it and how we receive it. And, you know, I think I've been seeing more feedback. Yeah, feedback for Strange and Unexplained than I was before, because I have access to all of the places now where the feedback is coming in, and I didn't have access to them before. And, you know, people really like to tell you how they feel. I'm trying to think of a single time that I've ever written like a negative Yelp review. I think it was one time, and it was when I was on a cross-country trip, and it was literally the only way that I could get through to the business because they weren't answering their phone. But, you know, even when I've had terrible experiences, I usually don't leave, you know, scathing public feedback, because what is the point? But also, you know, I do recognize that, like, if I were to start getting some sort of consistent feedback, it might make me stop and be like, okay, what am, you know, clearly this is something that keeps coming up. So what is it that I need to focus on? Not for nothing, but I went into the Strange Facebook page yesterday and somebody had said that they missed the next time on. And then it turned into a discussion of like people saying that they just don't like my show anymore and they can't quite put their finger on what changed. And also Kotze, Crimes of the Centuries. Nothing has changed. Except, you know, the networks that they're on. Anyway, I got off topic. I have a couple feelings about the way that your boss handled this. In some ways, I'm pretty impressed. This actually seems fairly measured and, like, I don't know, empathetic. It's hard to say empathetic about a boss, but, like, I know that now there are a lot of eagles. There are a lot of eagles, more than there were before, and there's a lot of legal issues. So, like, if you clearly have a medical situation, I think there's legal issues around firing you, right? Like, if he fires you, then, like, you could probably sue. I don't know. What the fuck do I know? I don't know. I'm not a lawyer because I have self-respect a little. But, you know, so it might be a legal issue that he's like, okay, well, here's the steps. Like, he may be required, right? And it does sound like he gives recommendations based on attendance. And so it might just be something that gets triggered, you know, like sort of like with Monty's school, like if he's late or misses a certain number of days, like we get an email, you know. I'm going to look right quick because some other people might know better than I do in the chat. All right. Amanda says, I think the supervisor is genuinely trying to look out for the letter writer. If the person doesn't do the doctor thing, HR could fire them, right? That's sort of my feeling. Because of attendance policy. Right. I think that was my feeling, too, is that the guy was like, listen, get this shit on record so that if something happens, you have it on record. Ashley says that people with autism tend to take feedback like that as criticism or passive aggressive comment because it's social norm, emotion based and not achievement or task based. I don't think that the boss was telling this person to see the doctor. I think they were just making a recommendation. It sounds to me like the boss was like, hey, you might want to consider getting something on paper. I mean, these days, and capitalism is killing us, but these days it's like we all have to get everything on fucking paper, right? Like any kid who might be experiencing like gender dysphoria, like it's in the parent's best interest to like start fucking documenting that shit ASAP, right? So that if and when they need medical care, there's a history of it, you know? You are a number, unfortunately. I mean, we all are. One of the reasons that Kurt left Lowe's and, you know, and Guitar Center before that. And I want to preface this by saying we are incredibly lucky and privileged that he could just quit his job and we didn't like go into financial ruin. But one of the reasons that he did that was because he felt like a number on a spreadsheet. And, you know, you are, unfortunately. I recently had a sponsor make me do a make good, which is like a free ad because like they weren't getting enough click-throughs. And I'm like, you've been a sponsor for like 3 years now. And like how many times can my listeners go check you out? Like I've got a base of listeners that are pretty much probably the same, maybe a few new ones, but like it's a numbers game. You know, you tapped this particular market out. But yeah. Unfortunately, we are all numbers on a spreadsheet and the people at the top are just trying to figure out how they can get more with fewer numbers. You know what I mean? Ashley says emotion-based feedback is hard to understand for those of us with autism because it's not natural that someone would care, yeah, about our well-being and functioning outside of getting our tasks done. That was my feeling about this, is that it sounds like your boss is actually responding to you as though you're a human being and not a number, because they could just fire you. You know, that would have been an option. You know, they could have just fired you and instead the boss is like, hey, I'm concerned, which is great. You know, I'm concerned and I'd like to see you get some support. I mean, I don't know what your gender is, but like, you know, in the old days, there were people who would have been hung for this kind of behavior. Ugh. I'm not saying like, hey, everything's great now. Just saying like, it is sort of remarkable that there are people trying to make some sort of difference. And if that difference is just like, hey, I'm concerned about you, you know, let's figure out what's going on. And yes, going into this election season, I think we all need to fucking gird our loins. I'm really concerned about my particular area, neighborhood. Have I talked about Boeing yet on the pod? So there have been several, you know, major incidences with Boeing airplanes over the past however many years, right? You know, crashes and the door coming off when, thank God, they weren't, you know, high enough up that it was a serious issue. And then I don't know about this plane in Asia that plummeted 6,000 feet. I don't know what kind of plane that was, although that wasn't a plane issue. It was a turbulence issue and a human beings don't belong in the sky issue. But that's a whole other thing. And when the door came off the plane, I can't remember if it was that or if it was before that, I was thinking, well, yeah, you know, unions have been under attack. There's a reason that unions exist and were formed, and unions have been attacked and, you know, defunded and destabilized and all that stuff. And because as far as the people in charge are concerned, their employees are all just numbers on a spreadsheet, and they want to get the most that they can out of the fewest employees. So they're cutting, you know, staff at the bottom levels, and then they are giving under-supported staff more and more hours. And so anybody with half a brain in their head is going to know that things are going to get built wrong. You know, there's not enough people, and the people who are there are overworked. And so I don't know what you think is going to happen, but someone's going to put a door on wrong. You know what I mean? Someone's going to not tighten the fucking screw because they're exhausted or they have 70 billion other things that they have to do. And lo and behold, you know, I think one of the guys who died of natural causes in his car in the middle of his deposition was saying like, there's not enough people. We can't build this safely. Yeah, you cannot keep cutting your staff and then expect everything to just keep going the way, like, just be like, work harder. Are you going to pay me more? No. But even if we did, you wouldn't, you're human, so you wouldn't be able to handle all this shit anyway. Yeah, things have to be done in writing, I think, for procedural, you know, any conversation that happens face to face, they can't document that. So it might feel a little impersonal, you know, but I think that it's just a procedural, like, cover their ass issue to send things in emails and to be like, hey, here's what I think needs to happen. Anyway, I got off track, but I'd like to rewind and start this over, but I can't. So here we are. I also would imagine that working in a technical support center is really stressful because you've got people probably calling. And they're, by the time they get to you, they're probably really frustrated. And so they're, you know, mad, and not a lot of people. When I get on the phone with a you know, support person, and I'm at that level, I'll say, like, I just want to let you know that I'm incredibly frustrated right now. And like, this has been an ongoing issue. And I'm like, I'm actually boiling mad, but I know you're a human being. So I'm going to do my best to, like, keep this calm. And they appreciate it. And it reminds me to just chill. The other thing I would say is, like, lean into your writing, you know. Oh, the way I get myself to stop doom scrolling, honestly, is games on my phone. I am on Instagram way less now because I'm just whatever stupid, mindless, dumbass games I'm playing on there. Someday when I get to the pearly gates, St. Peter's going to be like, do you want to see how many hours you spent playing mobile games? And I'll be like, what's my other option? And he'll be like, hell. And I'll be like, I will take hell. Thank you very much. I don't want to know. Yikes. Barry says, and then hell is just a screen showing your phone usage. Yeah. What else can you do? You got to like turn your brain off. I'm sorry that you're going through all of this. Just try to remember that you're in a very packed boat. We're all trying to row in the same direction, but I think we're not, unfortunately. You know, it's like we can see the goal ahead of us. All of us have the same exact goal, right? Regardless of your politics or your gender or your sexuality or any of that shit. We all have the same fun goal, right? Just to be happy and healthy. But like we're all rowing in different directions to get there. And everybody thinks that their way of going is the correct way. Amanda says, be proud of your positive changes. You've adjusted to leaving stress at the door, and that's way easier to say than do. I agree. You know, I think as an actor, too, like, you know, I had to learn to leave that shit at the door because I had to get on stage, you know, and people, they didn't pay money to see me bring on my baggage, you know. So that's a big deal. And I think if you keep a journal, I would say try at the end of the day to like write down a few things you did that are positive. I know it sounds so small, but I think it really is a helpful thing to remind yourself like, oh, I have achieved these things and these are things that I can be proud of. And also just that you're getting through it every fucking day. You know, literally the thing that can be on your achievement list is like, I lived. I'm alive and writing this right now. Lean into your writing. I don't know what to say about setting goals and thinking of a time in the future when it feels like it's slipping through our fingers. I think you just have to keep going with the sense that like we are keeping on going and there is going to be a future and how do you want it to look? Part of the reason that I'm setting up this play street is just so that like these kids can meet other kids, you know, like I don't know what the future is going to look like, but like, I don't know what I'm saying. That's a small thing to do to like set a goal for the future. It's not some massive, giant thing. For half a second, I thought I was going to get to go to Italy for my 45th birthday. And then I realized I was a lot less financially sound than I thought I was. I literally, for a minute there, I was like, I have so much money. And then I realized how many bills I had. And then I was like, I have negative money.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Thank you again so much for writing in, Chris. I really, really do appreciate you. And keep going. And write all the time. Dear Daisy, if you find this story foul, please accept my deepest apologies. However, I have a feeling my story will be hilarious for a decent many, hopefully, fingers crossed. Anyway, I have a tale to tell you, a tale of an unfortunate event that involves poop and a 2-year-old, but not in the way you might think. When my daughter was about 2, she started waking up at an offensive hour. I'm the sort that takes hours to fall asleep and then wakes easily, so when this habit kicked in, I was a zombie, a grumpy, might-shed-a-tear zombie. I'd bring her downstairs and turn some cartoons on and she would play nicely with her show and a snack while I rested on the couch. I have such a hard time sleeping that I'd never really fall back asleep. I'd lay there in a half-awake slug state until the sun came up. One morning, I stood there holding my daughter on one hip as I turned the TV on, scrolled through, and found something she wanted to watch. I'm standing there flipping through Netflix while she takes her sweet toddler time choosing. Wow, nice of you to give her a choice. My stomach was a little upset, and, well, I felt like I needed to fart. So, I farted. Except it wasn't just a fart. No, it was not. Unfortunately, it was a shart. Yes, you read that precisely. I sharted. I was wearing loose shorts, so the second I thought, oh no, that's not how a fart goes, I felt it hit my leg. I looked down, disgusted with myself. You'd think, me being a person with lifelong stomach issues, I'd know the difference, and yet I just sharted myself. Some of it got on the carpet. As I saw this, I panicked, because I don't live alone. My best friend was living with me while her husband was deployed, but he was home on leave. So they were both home, and also had a small child. So even though the sun was still in fucking slumber, I was terrified they would wake up and see me like this. That absolutely could not happen. I was sure I would incinerate on sight from the embarrassment of being caught having shit in the living room. I set my daughter down and turned to get something to clean up myself and the carpet, but to my horror, I realized my kid was crawling toward the poop. Like it was the most excellent toy she had ever seen, and bitch, it was playtime. I ran to get her, intercepting her initiation of the lightning-fast toddler crawl that occasionally ignites when the toddler in question sees something they absolutely have, or they will die! I scooped her up and got her some milk. Girl was real serious about her milk, and I knew it was my only means of toddler shriek management. I got her in her high chair and got myself cleaned up. I scrubbed the carpet and hoped no one would notice. I was fully prepared to blame it on the kid if anyone questioned the wet spot. Side-eye emoji. I thought about blow-drying the spot. Very light carpet. I had to work to get that color out. But decided that it might look even more insane to find if anyone woke up. So I ditched that anxiety-induced idea and settled on blaming the kid if anyone asked. Anyways, that's my story. No one ever found out, and I've never told a soul about it until now. But if anyone asks, I will never admit who I am! So with that, I shall sign off as the Anonymous Sharter. Oh, wow! Well, listen, A.S., Anonymous Sharter. Thank you for that. I think we all needed that today. Who knew that we all needed a story about sharting? I keep saying that this is kind of what I thought the show was going to be. It was like people telling me these kinds of stories. No one expects a shart letter. Not that I want it to all be letters about sharts, but I do appreciate an occasional shart letter, you know, just to sort of lighten the mood. Yeah, man, blame it on the toddler. No one's going to know ever. Like, she's not going to remember it. You know what I mean? Fucking blame that shit on the toddler. I was once working for somebody who was a friend. They had a daycare, and I was sort of helping them out for free, sort of in exchange for my kid having daycare, although I'm realizing now that doesn't make any sense because he wouldn't need the daycare if I wasn't working. But anyway. This person who had the daycare, it was a brand new daycare. They'd never done anything like that before. Anyways, we took all the kids to the park, and Monty was probably, I don't know, 2.5-ish, 3 maybe-ish. Nope, probably 2.5. And he had to poop. And he was wearing diapers, and he was 2.5, so he just pooped. And he was wearing shorts, and we were standing outside this person's building, you know, their apartment building where they had their daycare. And he just stood there and I looked over and I could see he was making the poop face. But what could I do? Plus, he was wearing a diaper. So he just stood there and pooped. And the poop came out of the diaper. And it came out the, you know, the side of his diaper and down past his shorts and right onto the sidewalk. He didn't make any special, like, he just stood there and pooped. That's what kids do. That's what kids are for. And what could I do? And it was the middle of the sidewalk. It wasn't like when your dog needs to poop and you bring them over to the side of the sidewalk. It was the middle of the sidewalk. Before I could do anything, this guy walked by and stepped right in it and didn't notice. So, yeah, that was unfortunate. Yeah, and then there was another time where when Monty was much younger, I brought him over to Kurt's office, this production company that he worked at. It was the end of the day. And Kurt took him and put him on, you know, like in the baby Bjorn. So he was he was on Kurt's chest facing out. And Kurt's horrible, awful, awful, evil, horrible, horrible, talk about numbers on a fucking spreadsheet boss came up. We fucking hated this woman. And Monty took a shit and it went again out the side and like right onto the floor, right at her feet. And Kurt and I were just, it was all we could do not to fucking just laugh hysterically. She was horrified. I just realized that I could do a Dear Daisy book. Oh my gosh. I mean, I could print all these and I could just print the transcripts. Oh my God. Yeah, man. That and a strange book, although I'm still not sure what that would be yet, because it would require more writing. All right. What do you think? That's probably good, right? It's a little bit short, but I really appreciate the poop story. Sounds like Monty really knows how to identify shitty people. Wow, the story started with Monty pooping and ended with Monty pooping. Someday he's going to disown me. Piece of feedback that I got, very early on with Strange was that my son was going to grow up to hate me. Maybe they're not wrong, you know? Maybe he will. He can't disown you. He's now famous for his Mary Celeste guest appearance. You're right, Brianna. I'm his meal ticket, God damn it. All right. Well, everybody poops. Some of us just accidentally poop on the floor. I will admit, I'm not ashamed to admit, I'm very ashamed to admit this, that I also had an oopsie poopsie some years ago out of nowhere. I felt fine. Everything was okay as far as I knew. I let one go and I was like, oops. So, you know, happens to the best of us because I am the best of us. I also thought I accidentally pooped on the Amtrak recently and I didn't. Situation, exactly, Ashton. Very good. It's a situation. Brianna just brought up Michaels, and I just want to say that unfortunately I have to add Michaels to my boycott list. Because the CEO said that the protests, the student encampments are anti-American. No, we can go to Joanne's. Joanne's is okay. So that's that on that, my friends. I think you're all just the best. I really do. It's a wild day when you... Whoa. Okay, Demeter. Yeah, Demeter's chomping at the bit here. Thank you, Chris. Demeter. Feelings? Emotions!
Oh my God.
She's wearing a purple thing. She's holding a pomegranate that is split open in a very Yannick-type fashion. I have a friend who named her son Yannick. I'm not sure if she knew the connection. I also know a kid whose name was Simeon, which means ape-like. She has I couldn't remember the word for snake. She has a snake around her neck. Couldn't remember the word for neck. She's got flowers in her hair. She's got wheat sort of like on and around her. She's got various flowers. She's holding a torch. She is and she's got a red third eye, you know, kind of dot, salt and pepper hair, and I guess olive skin. Is that what you would call that? Oh, right. Demeter. Feelings and emotions. I felt it all. The rage, the anger, the joy, the happiness, the tearing, the anguish, the tearing? don't know if it's tearing or tearing. And I searched for the middle ground, the shore path, between what I felt and what I did with it. Then I shed the skins, the layers that built up when feelings aren't voiced, aren't heard, aren't acknowledged. By giving my feelings their rightful place, I keep myself far from the intensity, immensity, sheer density, and cost of emotion. Mythology, Demeter, whose name means doorway of the mysterious feminine, was worshipped as the great goddess long before the patriarchal Greeks conquered the goddess-worshipping peoples of what is now Greece and imposed their Olympian male-dominated pantheon. As great goddess, Demeter is known for the founding of agriculture, instituting the social order, and for her mystery rites at Eleusis. One fine spring day, Demeter's daughter Persephone was captured by Hades, god of the underworld. Demeter, in her grief and emotional trauma, withdrew her life force from the earth, and winter came. Zeus persuaded Hades to return Persephone to Demeter, to trick Persephone into staying with him. For no one could return from the underworld having eaten the food of the dead. Hades gave Persephone a pomegranate, and she ate 6 seeds. Therefore, she was allowed to return to Demeter for 6 months of the year. The other 6 she spends with Hades in the underworld. Meaning of the card, Demeter has come to light your way through the dark and challenging labyrinth of feelings and emotions. It is time to nurture wholeness by accepting, acknowledging, and expressing your feelings. Feelings are what you feel. Emotions are your reaction to your feelings. Feelings left unexpressed build up and can create disease, for they take up space inside and keep healthy energy from flowing. Perhaps as a child, your feelings and you weren't heard. Therefore, you needed to give them more energy in order to get any sort of response. Perhaps you fear your emotions and/or feelings will render you too vulnerable, overwhelm you, or take you to places from which you won't be able to return. Demeter says, the more you learn to accept and acknowledge your feelings, the less time you will spend in emotional turmoil, and the more energy you will have to live life. The more you learn to accept and honor your feelings, the safer it will be. Become to express them. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, Barry says it's super tied to the first story with acknowledging feelings and leaving them at the door. Yeah. Brianna says, you're telling me we have to feel our feelings? Yeah, you know, I think that, first of all, if you ever get the chance to see Hades Town, I recommend it. Especially you, first letter writer. You enjoy musical theater. I really loved Hades Town. It's about Persephone and Demeter and Hades, and I loved it. I really did. Yeah, I think it's important to have our feelings and to acknowledge them and to be like, okay, those are my feelings, and then to also not let them dictate your life or determine your path. Or, you know, sometimes we have feelings that are valid, but also not useful or not anybody else's problem. You know, I know somebody who has a tendency to say, I just need to tell you, and then they'll tell me all their feelings. And I'm kind of like, no, you don't actually need to tell me that. You want to, that's okay. But just because you want to doesn't mean that you need to. And I don't need to hear it, you know. Amanda says, also with acknowledging that maybe the letter writer was possibly feeling a little defensive, which led to questioning of the motives of the supervisor, along with the fact that good supervisors who look out for their people are not the norm, sadly. That's really true. Like, you know, I think a lot of bosses would just have fired you. You know, I've worked for those people, you know, who will not give you any second chance. Yeah, and so your feelings might be like making you super defensive in a situation where you don't need to be, you know. Brianna said, I recently had a friend continue to dump all her personal problems and feelings about those on me, and I had to stop talking to her for a while. Not my job to fix your feelings. Feelings should be felt and sometimes guide us, but never guide us all the time, and def not control us. Yeah, absolutely. I'm guilty of this too. You know, like I'll have a feeling that feels so important and so real and I mean, they're all real, but you know what I mean? Like more important than any of the other things. And so I will want to act on it immediately. And I've been learning recently to like, I've written several drafts of like texts and emails that I've ended up not sending. And none of them are like, you fucking asshole. They're just kind of like, I'm pretty frustrated. But like, you know, you sort of wait and you let that pass a little bit. And then you find that maybe you're not as, it doesn't feel all that way. You know what I mean? Yeah, there are people that I will run, you know, texts or emails by before I send them. And I also know to just wait, you know. Barry says, I think with social media, too, we've been inadvertently taught that everything we feel and experience needs to be shared. And it's simply not true. It's super important to be able to discern between inside feelings and thoughts and outside feelings and thoughts. Yeah. Yeah. Barry and I are due for a phone call, actually. And she just got back from a vacation. And I was like, I'm just worried that this phone call is just going to be me going, bah! All of my feelings. And actually, like, we just haven't had time to make the phone call happen yet. And like, most of those feelings have actually dissipated and are not as urgent at all, you know? And that's just time, man. It's just taking a minute, you know? Which is also why meditating is so good. And I have fallen off that practice hard, which I feel terrible about, but you know, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I try to remember that, like, generally people have my best, like, my success or my happiness. Not my happiness, but you know what I mean. Like, most of the time people are not just, like, willy-nilly attacking. Yeah. I hope that helps. Take some time to go outside today and stand in the sunshine if you can. Literally touch grass. yeah, get those feet in the grass. I was closing my window curtains in anticipation of this recording, and I was looking out at my front yard, and I have a tendency to be like, to panic about, like, yesterday was so beautiful and I wanted to hang out in the hammock and I wasn't feeling well, and then a tree sort of fell nearby and I was like, all right, I'm getting the fuck out of here. And then I was like, oh, no, it's going to be winter at some point. And then I'll be sad that I didn't sit outside more. but that doesn't serve anything. So I'm just going to go sit outside. That's all, man. We're all doing our best. I think that those of us who have lost parents young, and maybe the first letter writer can attest to this, we're like acutely aware of how, like, short time is, and I think we tend to have anxiety about how fast, you know, time goes. I mean, when I was pregnant, I was worried about where we were going to put Monty for high school, you know, and everyone was like, you don't have to worry about that, it's years away. And, like, granted, I was living in LA at the time, and now here I am in Rhode Island, so it wouldn't have helped to, like, start planning, but it is sort of right around the corner. All right. I love you all. I really appreciate you all individually and collectively. This is very restorative for me. I hope that you can all take something away from all of the lessons. And if there's a publisher in my audience, contact me. Remember to rest, drink water, and be kind. Wait, is it the other way around? Drink water, rest, and be kind. I actually made a painting for somebody that says it in the wrong order, and I'm not sure what to do about that. Dear Daisy is a production of Grab Bag Collab and is brought to you by the generous patronage of our members. Amanda Rossman is my editor. Amanda and Amber Hunt are my partners in crime. Music was composed and performed by Kurt Bloom. If you have an idea for a limited series podcast that you'd like to talk to GrabBag about, email us at grabbagcollab@gmail.com. We do have some very exciting quarterly series coming down the road. Follow us on Instagram at GrabBagCollab. Follow me at DearDaisyPod and Daisy Egan. You can send me an anonymous email via Google Docs. The link is on our website, Patreon page, and social media. Remember that actual letters sent through the mail take priority, and I will send you something back. Except probably not that one that I said the phrase wrong on. So write to me old-fashioned-like at P.O. Box 10221, Cranston, Rhode Island 02910. Help us out by spreading the word about our podcasts. And remember to drink water, rest, and be kind.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.